Blog Talk Radio.
We're
the name of the Lord. Bless.
It's good to know the Lord. This is Sunday morning with the bishop, and I want to bring some things to you. I understand the anointing of the Bible and the Word of God. We start at 11:30, and we want to get in, know what's going on. They getting ready for today. Martin Luther King and Black History Month. Where do we go from here? And what do we do? Doors open to us. Are we walking through the door with education, understanding, and love? For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That's in the Bible. I want to say to you this morning, all is well. Standing on the brink of understanding our ancestors, all is well. And we need to understand the power of being well. And the power of the anointing of the Holy Ghost. This morning, what's going on all over the world? The murder, the killing. God is still in control. Prophet F.K. Johnson said, in all thy ways, acknowledge God. He will direct your path. Reverend Top from the west side of Chicago, you said wonderful, wonderful. And I wonder what he meant. It's wonderful to know that you're in the land we're living. It's wonderful to know that you're in the fight, the witchcraft, and the evil that's trying to attack you, physically, mentally, and spiritually. I thank God that you're able to see that you can fight the evil the devil try to send after you. And I want to tell you, Mother Ford, Mother Coins, God is able to lift you up out of the monkey mud. One thing that the mother said was so true. In all that way, acknowledge God, and he will direct your path. You need your path directed. And Mother used to say this all the time. If you let go and let God this morning, I'm praying for those that have called. They ask, what's going on? Lady, Kansas City, lady down in Arkansas, Mississippi, Louisiana, the call. God is able to lift them out of it. I'm praying for those that are trying to get out of jail in an ugly situation. I want to talk about lifting yourself up in spite of. What I want to say this morning, we've come a long way. We've got a long way to go. In the spirit, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., great auditor, prophet of God. Some of the stuff Dr. King said today happening right now. He talked about a country with no conscience. He talked about leadership with no leadership. He talked about lies on top of lies. He talked about presidents, kings, and queens not taking care of his people. Yes, Dr. King was truly before his time. And he was gifted from all the ancestors with knowledge and wisdom. And when you understand that, you can understand we've come a long way from slave racism, working from sun up to sundown. But it ain't over with yet. Our young folks got to know that we've come a long way. And even the church held us back. Some of the preachers, white and black, didn't speak out the truth of what's going on with us. But we still made it. And the girl was saying that she's read the Bible. Back in the day, our ancestors couldn't read. But they could take the Bible and open it up and strap it on them, wrap it on them, and the word that come into their spirit. Oh, y'all ain't hearing me. What I'm saying, they couldn't read. But they could take that same Bible and strap it on their back or on their stomach. And that word get in their system. I had an uncle. Couldn't read his name in a box of card letters. Going down the street. Don't laugh. But he could open that Bible and read from cover to cover. But if he seen his name driving down the street, box of card letters, he wouldn't know it. But it's in the Bible, he knows it. So I know God working his way. And he opened up doors.
Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
From this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised.
Amen.
The Lord is high above all nations and his glory above the heavens. Who is likened unto the Lord, our God, who dwelleth on high, who humbleth himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in earth? He praises, he raises up the poor out of the dust and lifts the needy out of the dunghill, that he may set him with princes, even with the princes of his people. He maketh the barren woman to keep house.
Yes.
And to be joyful mother of children. Praise ye the Lord.
Praise ye the Lord. This morning I want to say this.
Yes.
He said that he will bring you out of the dunghill.
Yes.
Out of your mess and set you in a place.
Yes.
And I want to tell you that right now that God is uplifting us in the spite of the storms and the flood.
Yes.
God is getting ready to carry us to another level.
Yes.
Whatever you're going through, go through it this morning.
Yes.
Because God is a healer.
Yes.
And a deliverer.
Thank you, Lord.
And David said that he lifted me up because he's over everything.
Yes.
He looked down and pick you up where you can't get up.
Yes, Lord.
The doctor said you can't get well, but God said different. He said, I control the universe.
Yes.
And if God controls the universe today, and I want you to know that he will lift you up and carry you to a safe place.
Yes.
He will carry you to a place of rest.
Yes, Lord.
Where you won't have to deal with the day-to-day operation.
Thank you, Lord.
You won't have to deal with ups and downs because he said that I am God of Abraham and the God of Jacob.
Yes.
And I want you to know whatever you might be going through,
yes,
get ready for a miracle breakthrough.
Yes.
Get ready for right now where you set your present state going to change in 20 2014, 2015, 2016. Get ready.
The United States of America. Ten years ago, during PSGO, a group of approximately 100 Negro leaders from across the South assembled in this church and agreed on the need for organization to be formed that could serve as a channel through which local protest organizations in the South could coordinate our protest activities. It was a meeting that gave birth to the Southern Christian Leadership Fund. When our organization was formed 10 years old, racial segregation was still a structured part of the architecture of Southern society. It rose with the pangs of hunger and anguish of thirst. Were denied access to the average lunch counter. Downtown restaurants were still off limits for the black man. Negroes burdened with fatigue and travel were still far from the hotels of the highway or the hotels of the city. Negro boys and girls in dire need of recreational activities were not allowed to inhale the fresh air of Big City parks. Negroes in desperate need of allowing down into buckets to sink deep into the wells of knowledge. Were confronted with a burn hole where they sought to use the city library. 10 years ago, the legislative halls of the South were still ringing loud with such words as interposition and nullification. All types of conniving methods were still being used to keep the Negro from becoming a registered voter. A decade ago, a single Negro entered the legislative chambers of the South set up as a porter, a chauffeur. 10 years ago, All too many Negroes were still harassed by day and haunted by night by a corroding sense of fear, a nagging sense of nobodiness. But things are different now. In assault after assault, because the walls of segregation come tumbling them down. During this era, the entire edifice of segregation was profoundly shaken. This is an accomplishment whose consequences are deeply felt by every Southern boy in his daily life. It is no longer possible to count the number of public establishments that are open to Negroes. 10 years ago, Negroes seemed almost invisible to the larger society. The facts of their harsh lives were unknown to the majority of the nation. But today, civil rights is the dominating issue in every state, crowding the pages of press and the daily conversation of white America. In this decade of change, the Negroes stood up and the contradictive oppressor. He faced the bullies and the guns, the dogs and the tears. He put himself well before the vicious mob and moved with strength and dignity toward them and decisively defeated. The courage with which he and he confronted the raged mob dissolved the stereotype of the grinning to the primitive tongue. He came out of the struggle integrating only slightly in the external society, but powerfully integrated within. This was a victory that had to precede all other things. In short, over the last 10 years, the Negro decided to strengthen his backup. A man can ride your massive we meet our government, write new laws, cruelest injustices that affected us. We made a different kind of rise from legend and subpoena conscience to appear before the judgment seat of morality and on the whole question of civil rights. We gain manhood in a nation that had always called us boys. It would be hypocritical indeed if I allowed modesty to fit my pain that SDLC stood at the forefront of all the watershed movements that have brought these monumental changes in the South. For this we can feel a legitimate pride. And in spite of decades of significant progress, the problem is far from solved. Deep running of discontent in our state is indicative of the fact that the plant of freedom has gone only above and not yet now. Before discussing the awesome vulnerabilities that we face in the days ahead, let us state an inventory of our programmatic actions and activities over the past year. Last year we met in Jackson, Mississippi, where we were named aware of the struggle of our brothers in Grenada, Mississippi. After living for 100 or more years with your cultural segregation, the Negro citizens of this northern Delta hamlet banded together in nonviolent warfare against racial discrimination under the leadership of our affiliate Chapman organization there. The fact of this non-destructive rebellion was as spectacular as a result. In a few short weeks, the movement challenged every aspect of society's exploited life. So, which were denied employment before college for the registration increased by 5,000. We can never forget the great faction of the people of Grenada who moved our nation and its federal courts to powerful action in behalf of school integration, given it was made one of the most integrated school systems in America. The battle is far from over, but the black people of our nation have achieved 40 of 53 demands through their persistent, non-profit effort. Slowly but surely, our southern affiliates continue their building and organize. 79 counties voted for registration rise, and the number of Caradon police political education and get out the progressives. In spite of press opinion, our staff is still overwhelmingly a Southern Beach staff. 105 persons have worked across the South under the direction of Jose Williams. What you see primarily of the registration staff actually multi-faceted program dealing with the total life of the community, from cooperatives, business development, tutorials, credit unions, etc. Especially that we commend all 99 communities and that staff will maintain regular mass meetings throughout the year. I was in civil education. From continuing to lay a solid foundation of adult education and community organization upon which all social change must ultimately rest. This year, 500 local leaders received training at Dorchester and 10 community centers for our citizen education program. They were trained in literacy, consumer education, and parenthood. Many other things. This program, was directed by Mrs. Dorothy Cotton, is a set up for the block and staff of 8 persons and 10 continues to cover 10 southern states. Our little BCTC is the aid which they have given to poor communities, poor counties, and in receiving and establishing old projects. Competent professional guidance of our marvelous staff member, Ms. Susan Lee, Browns and Wilcox counties in Alabama, have pioneered developing outstanding poverty programs, fully controlled and operated by residents of the area. Perhaps the area of greatest concentration of my efforts has been in the cities of Chicago and D.C. Chicago has had a wonderful ground for our work in the law. There have been north shaking victories, but neither has there been failure. Our open housing marches, which finally brought out an agreement, which actually calls for the power structure of Chicago to capitulate the civil rights movement. These marches and the agreement finally begun to pay off after the season of delay around election period leadership conference organized to meet our demands for an open city. Has finally begun to implement programs agreed last summer. This is not the most important aspect of our work. As a result of our tenant union organizing, we have begun a $4 million rehabilitation project, which will renovate the remaining buildings and allow our tenants the opportunity to own their own home. This project was the inspiration for the new homeownership bill which Senator Prissy introduced in Congress only recently. The most dramatic success in Chicago has been Operation Breadbasket. Through Operation Breadbasket, we have now achieved for the community and 2,200 new jobs with an income of approximately $880 million a year. New income to the Negro community. Not only have we gotten jobs through Operation Breadbasket in Chicago, with another area through this economic program. And that was the development of financial institutions which were controlled by Negroes and which was tentative. The problem of economic deprivation of the Negro community. The two banks in Chicago that were interested in helping Negro businessmen were largely unable to own much because of limited assets. High over the chain stores in Chicago, greedy to maintain substantial accounts in the two banks, thus increasing their ability to serve the needs of the Negro. And I can say to you today that as a result of Operation Breadbasket in Chicago, both of these Negro operated banks have now more than double their assets. And this has done in less than a year by the work of Operation Breadbasket. In addition, the ministers learned that Negro scavengers have been deprived of significant accounts in the ghetto. Whites control even the garbage of Negroes. Consequently, the chain stores agreed to contract with Negro scavengers to serve as leases for stores in Negro areas. Negro insects and rodent exterminators, as well as janitorial services, were likewise excluded from major contracts with chain stores. The chain stores also agreed to utilize these services. It also became apparent that chain stores advertised only rarely in Negro-owned community newspapers. This area of neglect was also negotiated, giving community newspapers regular, substantial accounts. Finally, ministers found that local contractors, from cleaners, masons, from electricians to excavators, had also been forced to remain home by the monopoly of the white contractors. Breadbasket negotiated agreements on new construction and rehabilitation work for the chain stores. These several interrelated aspects of economic development, all based on the power of organized consumers, hold great possibilities for dealing with the problems of Negroes and other northern cities. Signed the request made by Breadbasket in Chicago. We may be on the chain store, but almost any major industry in any city in the country. So, Operation Breadbasket has a very simple program, but a powerful one. It simply says, if you respect my dollar, you must respect my person. It simply says that we will no longer spend our money where we cannot get substantial jobs. Cleveland, Ohio, a group of ministers have formed an Operation Breadbasket through our program there. They moved against a major dairy company. Their requests include jobs, advertising in Negro newspapers, depositing funds in Negro financial institutions. This effort resulted in something marvelous. I went to Cleveland just last week to sign the agreement with retail tests. We went to get facts about their employment. We discovered that they had 442 employees and only 43 Negroes. Yet the Negro population of Cleveland is 35% of the total population. They refused to give us all of the information that we requested. And we said in substance, Mr. Bill said, we're sorry. We are going to put ticket signs around, and we are going to do leaflets out, and we are going to tell not to sell field test products, not to purchase field test products. We did that. went through the trenches. Dr. Wu, who passed the largest church in Cleveland, today, all the ministers got together, got behind this program. Went to every store in the ghetto. Said, you must take your product off of your tongue. We're going to go across your whole store. A&T refused. We put a picket line around A&T. We have some stores in A&T. We be picketed at A&T and closed down 18 of them in one day. Nobody went at A&T. Next day, Mr. Andrew was calling us. And Bob Brown, who is here on the is a public relations veteran representing a number of friends here, and they call on him to work for A&T. All of them, they didn't know he worked for us, too. I got to start out with A&T, and he said that, Mr. Brown, what would you advise us? He said, I would advise you to steal this product off of all of your counters. And he agreed next day not only to take steel test products off of the counters in the ghetto, off of the counters of every store, A&T store in Cleveland, and they said to steel test, if you don't reach an agreement with SALC and Operation Breadbasket, we will take steel test products off of every A&T store in the state of Ohio the next day. They were very humble. And I'm proud to say that I was living just last Tuesday. And I sat down with COS people and some 17 ministers from Cleveland. We signed the agreement. This has resulted in numbers of jobs which bring off $500,000 of new income to the Negro community a year. We also said this is the problem that we face is that the ghetto is a domestic product and the country is not being replenished. You are always telling us to lift ourselves our own bootstraps, and yet we are being robbed every day. You put something in the ghetto. So along with our demand for jobs, we said we also demand that you put money in the Negro Savings and Loan Association and that you take ads and advertise in the Cleveland Call and Post Negro newspaper. So along with those jobs, we feel that an hour deposited thousands of dollars in the Negro Banks of Cleveland and has already started taking ads in the Negro
under the leadership of Attorney James Robinson,
We have already contracted to build 152 units, totaling around 1,000 apartments for the elderly on a choice downtown Atlanta site under the sponsorship of the Indiana Baptist Church. This is the first project. This is the first project for countywide housing development corporation. We hope to develop in conjunction with SPLC through this corporation. We hope to build housing from Mississippi, North Carolina, using Negro workmen, Negro architects, Negro attorneys, and Negro financial institutions throughout our field. In the next 2 or 3 years, we can build right here in the South $40 million worth of new housing for Negroes, and with millions and millions of dollars in income coming to the Negro community. I don't know how many other things that I can tell you, but time is passing. This is as short as an ounce. SPLC's work over the last year. It is a record of which we can all be proud. With all the struggle and all the achievements, in the face back, however, that the Negro still lives in the basement of the great society. He is still at the bottom, despite the few who have penetrated to slightly higher level. Even where the door has been forced partially open, the ability of the Negro is still sharply restricted. There's also no bottom on which to start. I am happy to dawn with you today. In the greatest demonstration for our freedom in the history of our nation. Five years ago, a great American in whose public shadow we stand today signed the Emancipation Proclamation. This momentous decree came as a threat to the light of hope to millions of Negroes who had been enslaved in the flames of withering injustice. It came as a joyous daybreak to end the long night of their captivity. 100 years later, the Negro still is not free. 100 years later, the life of the Negro is still sadly broken by the segregation and the chains of discrimination. 100 years later, the Negro lives on the island of poverty in the midst of the vast ocean of material prosperity. 100 years later, the Negro is still languished in the corners of American society and find himself exiled in his own land. So we've come here today to dramatize the same condition. And then we've come from our nation's capital to cash a check. And the architect of our republic wrote the magnificent words of the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence. They were signing a promissory note to which every American was called to. This note was promised at all men. Yes. Black men as well as white men, with the guaranteed, the unalienable rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. We cannot be justified. One of the most basic mobilities from a smaller ghetto to a larger one. We can never be satisfied. As long as I don't know that we've been that ass also that robbed us that dignity and Christ only. In Mississippi, we cannot vote. And a Negro in New York believes he has enough for a witch vote. No, no, we are not satisfied. And we will not be satisfied until justice rolls down like a dollar and righteousness like a mighty city. Some of you have come to the ground.